Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. We're downtown, Navy Yard Studios, 106.7 The Fan. You're listening to B. Mitch Finley. He's an NFL legend. I am a big-eared blogger. B. Mitch, some bad football last night, dog.
It was good on the way on my court, but it wasn't totally bad. Denver came through.
It was just boring.
I don't know, man. Y'all want to see, what, 45, 50 games?
No. Cincinnati was completely inept. Yeah, the Jets were pretty damn inept.
So when one side is inept, the other side, I just give them credit. Halftime.
Yeah, maybe, but Cincinnati just – Jake. So I saw this tweet last night from this dude, Resh Manuel, and I retweeted it. I think he hit the nail on the head. Mm-hmm. For whatever limitations Marcus Mariota has, nothing can make you appreciate him more as Jaden's backup than watching the Bengals try to survive without Burrow by trotting Jake Browning out there.
Yeah.
He was terrible, dude.
He was.
I feel like he's played decently before. Those days are over, man.
This could have been last night, you know. He could come back and play some good games this year.
You're seeing everything through rose-colored glasses.
Not rose-colored glasses.
14 of 25 for $125 less.
Yeah, I understand, but I'm just saying, 14 of 25, he's over 50%. But the whole thing about it is everybody is not going to do 70%, and some of the starters don't get 70%.
Agreed. That offense was just – I mean, offensively, they got 159 yards. They gave up 512, so yeah, it's not like their defense showed up.
Well, their defense, we knew already, their defense was no good. And when Joe went down – hell, going from Joe to Browning, it's a drop off.
I mean, that's a
and I think
Grand Canyon.
What this year, what having a guy like Marcus Mariota shows teams is you got to stop just going with the guy that you're comfortable with and go with a guy who can actually help you. And a lot of these teams go with the backup quarterback who their guy is comfortable with or who they're comfortable with. The backup needs to be somebody that could go into the damn game and win games for you if something happens.
I think, agreed. And Browning previously had shown some ability. This year, though, it just hasn't been the case. They have talent on that offense. He's not able to get him the ball. Bo Nix did make some really impressive throws.
Yeah.
The drive right before halftime.
The running game down the stretch for Denver was good.
I mean, when you're up 28-3, it should be
pretty good. I'm saying, though, they ran the ball effectively, both the starting running back and the backup.
Yeah. Denver looked pretty good. That was kind of the Denver I think we were expecting. Finally starting to show up. I thought Nix has a rocket of an arm, showed that a few times. The other game, Jets-Dolphins. I told you I wasn't going to stay up. I tried
Tyreek
watching
hurt, when Tyreek got hurt, I think that whole game just took a turn. Like, being in a situation where I've seen guys get hurt and you see his knee, like his leg going the way that it's not supposed to be going, that messes people's heads up. It's hard to just say, oh, I'm just going to go back and play. You have to do it, but it's not that easy for everybody.
Looking at that Jets-Dolphins game, the Tyreek injury, obviously you hate to see it. Yeah. Have you ever known someone to dislocate a knee? It seems like
I didn't see the knee, but I saw Shep come out, and this part of his arm was going that way. So watching the elbow be dislocated, and all, it's hard as hell to just jump back out there and just go for it. But in essence, you have to, or you're going to end up hurt.
Tyreek, at this stage, this seems like a pretty severe injury, I would say. Tyreek is now 31. He'll turn 32 in August. He'll be 32 before next season starts. I think we assume his season's done with a dislocated knee, right? I don't know. I haven't. Maybe there's reports out there of how long he's going to be out. What do you think this means for Tyreek's career? A speed guy.
Well,
you know, with now a massive injury. He's never sustained
a big
injury.
They say his knee was dislocated.
That's the report. I don't know.
So if they don't come out and say all the ligaments are torn, hell, he could bounce back quicker from that than he would an ACL.
No, dude.
So everything's torn?
The latest report, I'm seeing this from NFL.com. Hill's dislocated knee has multiple torn ligaments, including his ACL.
That's going to be tough. That's going to be tough. A dislocation with all those ligaments, and he's a speed guy, is going to be tough. Now,
from Rappaport, Hill will undergo surgery today. It is possible that additional surgeries could be required, and there's no guarantee he'll be ready for 2026.
Well, there's no guarantee he'll be ready. First of all, you lose one, you have one ligament. You got multiple ligaments and all, and you got to get everything back. Listen, anything is possible.
Sure, of course.
But that takes
Alex Smith come back.
That takes Alex Smith's knee was worse than his. A leg was worse than his. That takes a hell of a lot of dedication, and is he still a guy who's that dedicated? You get what I'm saying?
Sure. It's a fair question.
I think a younger person who hasn't made that money may have more drive to do it. Or Tyreek could be the guy who just want to prove people wrong.
Can I say just one random aside, like a personal silver lining, perhaps for you too, because you get the question too. I don't think Washington was ever going to trade for Tyreek Hill. I don't think he strikes me as a Dan Quinn, Adam Peters kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
But like now, as we get close to the trade deadline in a month, it's not going to be a topic.
That's not going to be a topic. It's not going to be.
It would have been.
It probably would have been, but I think the ultimate thing, listen, bro, you got to look at what they're trying to build. And I think the problem with this whole thing right now is, and this was mentioned a lot last night at the little dinner I went to, we had so much success last year that people forgot that we are building something. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The success last year made people think we are already there. No, we're still building. And you're trying to build something that's going to be sustained, that could be sustained. That's where the problems are. So we got to understand that. We get to a point where you see something positive and everybody just jump to the end instead of understanding, although it looked good last year, you still got a lot of things to get going.
I mean, if you're looking for optimism for Washington, it sure seems like Jaden's going to play this week. There's a report over the weekend, I think from Rappaport, that, you know, there's all signs point to it. Dan Quinn yesterday was, you know, hardly definitive, but he said Jaden had a really good workout and we've got a practice plan for him this week, and that's how it's going. I tend to agree. That I personally think Jaden's going to play this week. That's my reading. I'm not reporting anything there. That's just my reading of the situation.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
I think that will give them a big boost. What do you think it'll mean for Jaden to be able to go back to L.A. and play in his... He's from inland from there, but he's a SoCal kid.
Yeah, SoCal kid. And when, like, the thing about it, no matter who, where, when, you get a chance to play at home, and you know it's going to be some of his friends or family there, you want to put on a great performance. But the thing I like about Jaden is that he is not going to try to do more than it takes. He's just going to go play the game, and when somebody gives him something, he's going to take it. I don't see him as a guy, and we watched him all last year, that gets to a certain situation and say, oh, I'm going to try and do this and go away from what the offense entails.
I think in the Green Bay game where he did get hurt and he was just getting smoked throughout that game, just getting hit, I think the offense broke down so much that Jaden probably tried to do a little more on his own.
Well, if the offense is breaking down and you're not blocking, I'm going to try to protect myself. That's what he's trying to do.
Right.
You know, if you watch any quarterback, I don't care what level they are, rookie, 14-year vet, 18-year vet. If you constantly see the other color coming through the line, you are not standing still. You're getting the hell out of there. And I would recommend it.
Yeah. I mean, the Green Bay game was such a disaster for them that everything kind of broke down. I think, you know, the Atlanta game, they really did have chances. They just couldn't get a stop. What do you think, as today's the players' off day, I'm sure a ton of them will be in today regardless. You know, yesterday a lot were probably in watching film, getting treatment, whatever. What do you think, DQ yesterday, I tried to ask him, because if you try to ask a question like, yo, are you going to bench Marshawn? Like, he's just not going to answer that. I asked Dan, hey, man, is there like a timeline where you stop wondering if it's an execution issue and it needs to be a scheme or personnel issue? Like, we're now four games into the season. Mm-hmm. The coverage busts have been a problem through four games of the season. We're a quarter of the way into this thing.
Yeah.
It's not a small sample size anymore. Mm-hmm. What, like, when you were playing, I mean, you played for one current, one future Hall of Fame coaches.
Yeah.
When would, like, Joe and Andy decide, all right, this isn't working, we need to do something else, whether that means change the people on the field, change how we're coaching it, change how we're
coaches,
it.
The coaches are already tweaking and trying to change things. They don't wait until week four. They already know if something's not working, and they are trying to tweak little things, and if it continues, then they're going to make a move. I think you will see some level of change after this week. And it may not be anything that we're going to notice, but they're going to make a level of change. Because right now, if they've already adjusted the scheme or if they had different people on the field, they're going to change that. You also have injuries in there that's included. Do you count some of that stuff in? When Percy comes back, does something change up a little bit? We don't know. But I think coaches, we see it way after they see it. But they're not going to just throw it in the trash after a week or two or three when they've been putting this in for the last 6 months or whatever. You know what I mean? You're not going to just trash the whole thing, because if you have something you believe in, you're going to keep trying to push it. And then maybe at this point they may say, well, we got to get other personnel out there. Or somebody better start communicating better. Because, like, you know, a few years ago, if the ball's being snapped and you're still talking, that's a problem to me. Because that ball snapping, you looking at your player, all of a sudden that damn receiver's in your chest. A little too late now. All that stuff should be done. When that quarterback gets on the center and start talking, boom, communication over. We should know what we're doing right now. And that didn't look like that on Sunday.
Where do you lean? Like, do you think communication's a problem? Execution's the problem? Scheme's the problem, personnel's the problem.
If communication is a problem, execution's going to be a problem.
Right.
If communication's a problem, no matter who you have out there, the personnel's going to be a problem. You see what I'm saying? So they have to figure out a way and find out. Listen, my mindset is old school. You got to move at a quicker pace in practice to be able to know how it's going to happen in the game. In practice, a lot of times, it's so low-key, laid-back, and especially these days, but in that game, you don't have all that damn time. You know what I mean? You have to be able to do it quickly and then have it become second nature to you. Didn't look like second nature to me. I saw a lot of talking going on, but in the end, we didn't see any solutions being derived.
Totally.
So,
I asked Dan, like,
why? What? I don't know.
My question was like, is there a timeline where you wonder about execution versus players' scheme? And I thought his answers kind of echoes your point, B. He said, you want to do both. You're kind of coaching all the time through it at first to make sure the technique's right. Can we dig into something to get it aligned like we want it to align? Then the second thing you want to see is there repeat issues that could come up,
yeah,
whether it's scheme or player, and now you have four games of work as opposed to one or two. So I think there's this thought that, like, they're not looking at stuff or trying to make adjustments. I think that's crazy. They're obviously trying.
Oh, yeah, they're trying to. Listen, bro, nobody in the NFL look at stuff that's not working and say, I'm not going to try to adjust it. You know, whether you have a conversation and say, hey, try this, and if you see this, do this. If the person goes out there and he doesn't do it, I tried to make a change, did I not? So it's going to come down to they're figuring it out. But this is the time right now, week five now, you're talking about almost a third of the way through the season. You got to make adjustments to be able to move forward.
And now you've got a big game on the road in L.A. They've had these slow starts on the road. I just feel like slow starts on the road cannot be – that just cannot continue to happen.
Slow starts.
Four out of five games are on the road right now.
Slow starts can't continue to happen. It's not just on the road. Whether they're at home, on the road, you can't start off slow. Now, it gets exemplified, it gets to be even magnified when you're on the road because you're fighting a hostile crowd, and if they get the crowd behind them, that's trouble for you. They just got to figure that out, and that's not just a coach thing. It's players too. You know, players get to the point where I'm at home, I'm comfortable. Well, hell, do the things as close as you possibly can on the road like you do at home. You know, like, let's say we had a Monday night game. If I were here, we already have gone to the hotel anyway. So on the road, I tried to do everything exactly like I did at home. You know, I want to get to the stadium at the same time. Like, when I was either here or in Philly, whenever we had a late game, I got immediately out of that damn hotel. I don't lay around when I'm at home on any game. So why am I going to lay around all day just because I'm on the road or something? I get up and I go somewhere. And then all of a sudden I come back home about that 3 to 4 hour point where you start to get yourself prepared for the game. I did that. Guys got to figure out a way. And as I said before, there are certain guys on the team where you look for energy and motivation. Whoever those guys are, they got to be that guy bringing the guys with you. Because some guys don't need to be motivated. Some guys just naturally that way.
I heard Von Miller on with the Junks this morning, and they asked a question that was kind of like, hey, you know, you guys just lost. The Chargers just had a bad loss, too, to the Giants, who hadn't won yet. What does it mean going into a game like that? And Von was like, they're pissed, but we're pissed, too. It's just going to be a bunch of pissed off teams.
Yeah, that's it.
And
it's who both people are pissed. But it comes down to who gets their mind right and correct the things that they did not do well last week. Who does the best at that? You can be pissed all you want. Being pissed off don't make you win games. Correcting it and finding out why you're pissed off and why the game went the way that it did, why you couldn't do the things that you're capable of doing. When you figure that out quickly, you can go and be successful. But if you're just pissed off, you're going to be just a pissed off person. That don't make you better.
John Keim, ESPN Commanders reporter and host of the John Keim Report, will join the program next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.